1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Entitled my remarks, The Day of the Lord. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So here is our hope. This is the day that we look for, the day that we have waited for, the day that God sends forth His Son from heaven. This day we have heard in our prayers, and this day we have longed for in our hearts with earnest expectation and desire. This doctrine of His second coming is the source of our hope. It brings us comfort, and it brings us inspiration that we will be delivered from the wrath and the destruction that will soon come upon all of the unbelieving. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Chapter 3, verse 13. To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And 4, 15, and 16. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And finally, 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This day will bring victory for the faithful saints who at His coming, whether dead or alive, continued in patience regarding the precious time that they had, who continued in well-doing through all of their sufferings in this life. And He is coming to reward those who have walked in faith, and He is coming to restore Israel. As we see Yahweh marvelously maneuvering the basis of men to accomplish His purpose on this earth, let us be reminded today of the very little time that we have left to get our houses in order and to work out our salvation. As we read, this day we know will come as a thief in the night. So us being children of light, we shouldn't be caught off guard. We should be waiting, and we should be watching for when He comes, so that we shall be made like Him. In Revelations 16, 15, Jesus says, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. And in Matthew 24, 43, Jesus says, But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered, and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Turn over to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The message is simple. Watch, look, and lift up your heads, because he is coming. And as we know, there are certain requirements that we are to adhere to have a part of this great inheritance, that is to follow his coming. To be called sons of God, as we will read in chapter 3 of 1 John, is a result of our believing and being baptized into Christ's saving name. Turn there, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can be made like him. As we know, Christ is now immortal, and we are still but earthly creatures, prone to sin, deserving nothing. But through our baptism and our repentative attitude, we know of a surety that we can be delivered from this body of sin and flesh. And this should cause great appreciation and humility for the calling that we have had, and for this great hope that we have in the hope of Israel. As our master was touched with the same infirmities as us, and we know he overcame them with tremendous, consistent constraint, using prayer and meditation, desiring only that which his heavenly Father would have him to do. He never sinned. Tempted, yet undefiled, he would ultimately end up in the grave. Isaiah 53, 8 and 9 reads, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he, Christ, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And as we know, he was crucified between two thieves, as he was numbered with the transgressors. The curse from the beginning of God's 7,000-year plan has had favor on none, and that is none born of a woman. And even God's only begotten Son had to die. No one was exempt, but no one else but Christ has been resurrected to eternal life. And this only happened because he was obedient unto his death. And because of his love for the Father and for his love for us, he has now obtained the great salvation. Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we could ask, believeth what? And be saved from what? And as we are to follow Christ's example in what he teaches, and by his examples, if so doing, will obtain that glorious spirit nature of immortality through God's grace and mercy. As the vast majority of people on earth believe, once saved, always saved, they believe that they are going to heaven when they die, these folks will find themselves left behind when he appears. Jesus does not say, just get baptized like I did, and you get everlasting life. He says, he that believeth and is baptized. In Matthew 28, 19, he tells his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Teach is first before baptism, as it was with each of us. We had to know of our Heavenly Father, and we had to accept of his plan of salvation. And then we had to repent and be baptized, and not only for the moral sins that we had done, but for the nature that we bear. So here then is the qualifier in Galatians 3:22, faith and obedience plus belief. Galatians 3:22 reads, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Faith in this man Jesus, in what he preached, and also what he preached unto the disciples that they have left record and examples for our faith, for our learning, and for our understanding. The promises left on record to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to David, and to all of the faithful in Hebrews 11, being baptized in Christ, we are all part of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then over a couple pages in Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The distinction between Adam's race and the covenanted is in verse 19, that we are no more strangers and foreigners of God. And going back up a few verses in 12, that we were once without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Should cause us to reflect on the love and the great privileges that we now have, but more so when that day of the Lord comes. And if so judged righteous, we will receive that great gift of eternal life, giving glory to the highest for eternity. Jude 20-25. Jude 20-25. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, make a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And then back a little bit into Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we have to be looking for that day to come. Looking in Strong's number 4327, figuratively endurance, by implication to await. And Strong's adds await with confidence and patience. When we are looking, and that we're being aware, and that we are focusing, our perception and our awareness of what is going on around us will stay sharp and clear, unlike those around us who don't know what is to come upon this earth when our Master does return. Back over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read verses 3 and 4 now. Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Actually, I'll pick it up at 1 and 2. We'll read that again. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So we all know perfectly that this day is coming, as we are not in the darkness, verse 4. And God has favor on us, and we have been given a great hope, a plan of escape from the death and the destruction that will come upon all of those that do not love God and that do not fear him. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 15. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 15. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom giveth unto him, hath written unto you. Also in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 21. Acts 3, 19, I'll just read 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So how important then is our faith, as we were exhorted on last week by Brother Jason, in believing all of these promises that were made unto the fathers and all of those who answered his calling. Again, the Lord is not slacking in concerning his promise, and we know and believe this great kingdom with Christ as king will be. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This revelation of Christ will come as a thief in the night, we read in 2 Peter 3:10, and our opening verses in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief. A thief is a stealer, or one who takes things without permissions from the owner, a robber, using darkness to cover the darkness that they are living in. Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. Leviticus 19:11, ye shall not steal. Christ says in Matthew 19:18, thou shalt not steal. In Mark 10:19, Jesus says, do not steal. No one sees the person stealing. Most of the time. Some of the times they get caught and some of the times they don't. Most of the time a thief does their homework. They scope the place out. They investigate. They were prepared to rob whatever they were going to rob. And this still continues until they get caught and punished. And then that might not even work. We see people get out of jail and go do the same thing. With all of the technology today, with cameras, we got doorbells that have phones. And you can talk to your doorbell and sensors and gates and bars. This still doesn't stop thieves. But the thief thinks no one is watching. But as we have a creator, one who is watching over all, there is a comfort for us, a heavenly host of angels encamping round about us. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. One more, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The criteria for to receive all of the benefits that God offers is simple. Psalms 34, verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. If we believe what these scriptures say, this fear we have, which I often term a healthy fear, is not a fear like that of anxiety, but a reverential fear, a respect for our higher power. And there is no one, as he daily supplies us with benefits, enlightenment, protection. I sought the Lord, verse 4 of Psalms 34, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalms 33, back a chapter. I want to read verses 18 through 22. Psalms 33, 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. So how often does our heart rejoice for the deliverance that he has offered unto us, and for the hope that we have in his provided mercy? Have not we seen his hand in our lives, delivering us from death, maybe for some of us, and the cruel hatreds of this life? Have not all of us been saved out of all of our troubles and our fears? If we trust in God and rely on him, the answer would be yes. But who of us is worthy of that precious gift, the crown of life? God's grace abounds, and his mercy endureth forever. Look over in Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 1. Genesis 8, verse 1 reads, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Genesis 19, verse 29. Common denominator in these verses. Genesis 19, 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. And he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwell. And one more, 30, Genesis 30, verse 22. Genesis 30, verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. God remembered these individuals because of their faith and their belief in him. We know Brother Jason spoke of Noah last week, of his great faith. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and walked with God. He did all that the Lord commanded, such as we are to do too, and God remembered him. Remember doesn't mean that God forgot about him, but that God recognized him for his faithful ways, and thus he was saved. He was saved from the flood, we know, but more importantly, from the grasp of death, the curse placed on all of mankind in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah moved with fear and became an heir of righteousness. He had respect, and he believed that day would come when the water would destroy all flesh, every living thing that is in the earth, and that day did come. So for us, the day is coming when Jesus will return as he said he would, looking to cleanse the earth and all of its unfaithful inhabitants, and thus, and this time, it will be with fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. So are we ready? The signs should be very clear to us, and it is our privilege to know these signs, and we should dwell upon them and the consolations of this marvelous promise that we have been given. The word of God has been given to us to instruct us in reference to his plan of salvation. The second coming of Christ is going to be the climax of his great purpose. Revelations 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Be it ours to join with fervent hearts in this response of the apostle. With that, we will now enter into our memorial portion.